Dallas Aikens joins us on Primetime Sports. Dallas, thanks a lot for doing this, and I mean that. There's no way, not just me, I would guarantee there's a lot of people who wouldn't do that a day after they'd been relieved of their position. How did you approach it? Like, is it something you wanted to do? Did you have to be talked into it? I'm just wondering sort of how it came about.
No, it was, and thanks for having me, guys. As the day went on, it was obviously an emotional day. It was a tough morning for me, and it was an extremely tough morning for Craig McTavish. And as the day went on, I Todd Nelson, who I know really well, he's a good friend of mine, taking over. Like, it just turned into in my head that I wanted to get out in front of it, and there was some stuff swirling, and I wanted to get out in front of it. I contacted the team, and to their credit, they were like, well, it might be a little early. Let's let things die down. And then I basically strong-armed it a little bit. I just said, listen, either get it set up or I'm going to tweet that I'm going to be available at my house at 10 a.m. tomorrow. So either way, this is going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they got on board very quickly. They were highly supportive, and I just let them, they didn't know what I was going to say. But I just told them that I had a few things to say. And the biggest thing for me was the message to our fan base. And I know they don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. And I'm allowed to speak the truth now because I'm no longer in my position. And I wanted them to hear it and to hear it loud. And whether they accept it or not, that's another thing.
Dallas, your message to that fan base was, I'm quoting you here, like it or not, you need to be patient. Was it tough to say that to them? Because they've been pretty patient for quite a while now.
Well, it's not, because I understand it. It's been hard, and there's been a lot of pain, and maybe a lack of trust. But the reality is the organization is where it's at. That's just the reality. This is where we are at, and there's no fast fix now. So I equate it to, man, you were building up a fortune, everything was going well, and then suddenly you lost it all. Well, you don't go get it back the next day. You've got to dig your heels back in and start back to work. And my message was basically that, Craig McTavish is not responsible for anything other than the past 18 months. And if a new GM showed up today, you know what he'd do? He'd walk out there. He'd say, thank you very much for the opportunity. 5 years. That's what it's going to take. And everybody would applaud and nod their heads and go, okay, this is going to be great. Well, let's give Craig a chance here. He's been 18 months into a job. He's gone through the organization. He's evaluating everything. And believe me, I know what his plan is. And if there's anybody that can get it done, it's going to be him.
What is...
So that was, I wanted to really get that out there. And then the second part is just thank the city. It's, it's been a wild ride for, since I've been here, but I've been, my family and I have been treated so well. It's such a great community. And, I wish nothing more than the 2 points for the team tonight.
What is Craig going to learn when he goes down on the bench and in the room?
I don't know if he's going to learn much more than he already knows,
mm-hmm.
But I think the effect of him being there will be great. Just him being that close will greatly affect the players. And maybe that's going to be what it takes to bring that extra energy right now to get on the other side of these one-goal games. It's hard for people to wrap their head around, but the record does not show it. But I'm telling you that this team is much better than it was last year. It was a freeway to our net chance-wise last year. It has not been the case this year. We measure so many things as coaches now, and I'm able to go look at last year, look at this year, and see where the team is at. And the team fundamentally, it's night and day. And I think very close to you know, not necessarily being a top team in the conference. That's going to take more time. But being in the game and being closer to a 500 team is something that is definitely not out of the question if we can get on the other side of these games.
It's Dallas Aikens joining Jeff Blair and Ken Reed on Primetime Sports. You worked in Toronto with the Marlies. You've now worked in Edmonton with the Marlies. You were effectively a part of the Maple Leafs as well. You talked about the patience that's needed in Edmonton and the frustration of Edmonton fans. And I'm wondering if you can, is there a different level of frustration in Edmonton than Toronto? Because, you know, Toronto, we talk about the Stanley Cup. The last time they won a Stanley Cup was 1967. That's a long time ago, obviously. But Edmonton, it's a long time ago, but there are people who still have pretty fresh memories of the Oilers winning the Stanley Cup. I think, as Nick Kyprios said, at least the Oilers won the Stanley Cup in the age of color television. Which marketplace do you think is more frustrated right now, the Oilers marketplace or the Leafs marketplace?
Well, I think it's two different kinds of frustration. And, you know, with the great city of Toronto there, it's that 1967 just hangs heavy. And those old pictures and you know, a lot of people, like, geez, that was the year I was born. Mm-hmm. And it's been, you know, a whole few generations haven't seen that. And I think that's the level of frustration there. And it's far different, though, from a team like Edmonton who, you know, they rattled off multiple cups there with the team. A lot of people remember that. And then they also remember the last year Craig was behind when he was behind the bench, and I think it was 06, and they made the playoffs, I think, as the eighth seed, and they ended up going to the final and losing in game seven. But then came this whole rebuild. Everybody loves the rebuild, you know, draft high, do all this stuff. And sometimes that's not the way to go about it. And sometimes it is. But I think that's the level of frustration here is I believe the market thought by drafting high, and this would be real easy, and it's not. You have to fill so many holes in so many different ways, and it's going to take time. And like I said, if anybody's got the cojones to get it done here, it's going to be Craig.
Dallas, is there anything that surprised you about being an NHL coach for the first time over the last year and a half or so?
No, just the one thing that I enjoyed in Toronto was you know, I worked as the Marlies as an assistant coach with Paul Maurice. I was an assistant coach with Paul in the NHL for a couple of years. I started up the development program in Toronto, and then I went as a head coach. But in Toronto, I could, you know, we live downtown, and I could move around there fairly easily. You know, I might walk 10 blocks before somebody would say, "Hey, coach, how you doing today?" Mm-hmm. But here in Edmonton, it's a small market. And it's a tight community, and I can't walk 5 feet. And I understand it. I look everybody in the eye and say good morning and hello and all that. But it's something that I've never been real comfortable with once I'm outside the rink. I like to just kind of go about my business, and I think that was the biggest thing that caught me off guard. I know my spot as a NHL head coach, especially in an NHL or in a Canadian market, but that level of notoriety and you know, all eyes on you, no matter where you went, was uncomfortable at times. It's like you go into the restaurant, I'd order a glass of wine, and then I'd finish that glass of wine, and then if I dared to order another one, the people were leaning in going, "Oh, he just ordered another one." it's interesting. But hey, that's the passion of the city. That's the passion of hockey in Canada. Mm-hmm. And that's why we love it.
Dallas Aikens joins Jeff Blair and Ken Reed on Primetime Sports. I'm going to ask you a question about sort of the young core of that team, because we were having a debate here, and I mean, other people, I mean, Dallas, you know as well as I do, this debate's been going on in bars and living rooms in Edmonton for the past 2.5 years probably. But can that team move forward and hang on to those those three core young guys, Jordan Eberle, Ryan Nugent, Hopkins, and Taylor Hall, or in your gut, now that you're, you know, as you said, now you can speak freely, you can speak the truth now. Do you almost have to move one of those three guys in order to get maybe more of a different commodity in?
Well, I don't know if you're moving those guys, but you're, you know, to fill the holes, that's why I was talking about patience.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some big, big centermen coming up through the pipeline. Like Leon Draisaitl, who is playing as a 19-year-old, he's going to be a key piece there. There's two huge centermen in Oklahoma City, and one of the two for sure are going to end up playing, if not both. They've got a highly touted goalie in the minors that might take a few years to get ready. But if you're not willing to wait for that, you've got to fill the hole somehow else. And, you know, free agency is tough. You know, a lot of the players are going to the big market teams for the big dollars. And maybe not so much the off here to Edmonton. But if you can't fill it that way, then the only other way you can do it is by, you know, trading some of your trading your assets. And whether that is draft picks or players that you've already picked or people in the locker room. And that's the challenge here, and that's what the organization is going to have to do moving forward.
Dallas, the Oilers have lost 15 of the last 16, as you know, and you know Taylor Hall's never been to the postseason. Jordan Eberle's never been to the postseason. Is losing the norm for these guys, and how did you try to get through them to not just accept losses, but to keep improving?
Well, they don't accept it, and that's one of the myths. And I saw that when I came in last year. Last year I was trying to stay on top of the you know what the players were reading and at least know what the what they were seeing. And this year I just turned it right off. It was just it just couldn't go there anymore. And the last year I saw that being said, like, hey, it's the norm, the organization, the players just accept losing. And that's a fairly arrogant thing for somebody to say who has no idea the emotions in a dressing room when teams are trying to get better and they're coming up on the short end of the stick night after night. And I can tell you, put my hand on a Bible or whatever you want me to, these players do not take losing lightly, and the management and the coaching staff certainly doesn't either. And they are trying to get better. And I still stand by this team is fundamentally better than its record is. And I think we're going to see some improvement here before the season's over. But that's a myth, Jeff. It's something that it's easy to write, it's easy to say, but it's a bunch of bull crap.
Dallas, you still got, again, I know it's only a day here, but you've got pretty strong feelings, not about this team, but for this team, don't you? I almost get this. I made the point earlier. When I watched your news conference, I thought I saw someone who was really, really disappointed, someone who really thought there was a chance to grow here with this group and just disappointed and frustrated. Is that the way you would describe your predominant emotions right now?
Well, yeah. And it's public too. It's you're out there, and you know I try to stay calm behind the bench. I don't think getting too fired every once in a while, you want to get fired up, great. But I like to try to stay settled back there. But in my everyday life, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I came in here thinking that. And again, you can't say it out loud, but my goal for this team was by the time we got in the new building, so get 3 years under our belt, we should have a real good change of the way we do things, and you know maybe get a playoff round in by that time. But we wanted to make some hay when we got in the new building and be able to win a round or two, and that was kind of the timeline. But the amount of suffering that went on, it's not going to happen. When you lose that many games, it doesn't matter if they're by one goal or five goals. somebody's going to get lynched. And it was me, and I understand it. I totally understand it. But that does not take away from the pain, the disappointment, the just the guttural pain that you go through. But at the same point, I stand here and I am cheering like crazy for Craig and Todd Nelson and those players in that room. I'm with them. And I'm gonna stay with them until another opportunity arises for me.
How quickly do you want to get back into coaching? Do you need time to decompress, to stand back a bit here, or are you available as of 6:17 p.m. Eastern to coach?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I need to reconnect with my family. I got two little girls. I explained it to my 6-year-old. My other one's 3, that, daddy wasn't going to be going with the hockey guys, that it was somebody else's turn to coach, because trying to teach them about it's the other one's turn. It's time to share.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I need some time to reconnect with them, and I'm looking forward to the holidays. But my better half, Ingrid, she knows how I am. And after probably 2 weeks of reconnecting and settling down and really being able to take some stock of what's gone on this year, I'll be ready to roll to do something, and we'll see what that is. The luxury I have is a little bit of time here with my contract situation that I can pick and choose which route to go. But all that stuff, term, he's got 2 years left, he's got 3 years left. That's nice to have, but it really doesn't matter. Everybody just wants to work and be part of a team. It's what I've done my whole life. So the answer is, give me 2 weeks, and I'm ready to roll.